Those of you who are watching at home, thank you so much for joining in with us as we are worshiping our Savior and loving the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that becomes a reality of 2021, that it bears the name of Christ in our life for this year. This morning, first Sunday of the year, we have for the last few years had the challenge of sharing with the church some of the hopes and plans for the year, the vision, things that have been laid upon our heart as a church through the elders of Green Pines. And so I endeavor to try to do that with you today. It's, as you probably are doing, finding it quite a challenge to plan for this year. I don't know how many of you looked at last year's January 2020. We were looking in comparison to last year versus this January that has a lot of white spaces. Last year we had something every weekend, from back to basketball practices to various things, parties and such. This year we's like, well, it's Canaan's birthday, and we know that's going to happen, we think. And then outside of that, it's like, all right, well, let's see. So as we plan this year, we do want to share with you what we believe is God's will. In other words, regardless what COVID things happen, it is God's direction for us. And that is a simple statement, a statement that you have heard me repeat to you throughout this past year. And that is simply this, that in Christ, we, Green Pines, are a family. And so in Christ, we are a family loving our neighbors near and far, advancing the message of our Savior for the glory of our Creator. And we can say confidently, this is God's will. It is written for us in black and white. It is demonstrated to us through Jesus Christ. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so as we have our vision lined up with what we know and believe the Holy Spirit has given us to do, then we have an immeasurable power for us, and that is God is for us. God is working that. I was reminded this past week as I was reading the Word of God that Christ is the head of all things. And if we as a church are in Christ, then we also know what it is to have all things at our feet, including coronavirus. In Christ, He is the head of coronavirus. And as we will read in Colossians, if He is the head of all things were made by Him, all things were made for Him. And so as our church, we are made for Christ, so too is coronavirus or any other latest sickness and disease. That He is a redeeming God and will use all things for His purposes, and His purposes is to conform us into His image and redeem this world. And so there's some things that we can hold on to as a church. They're going to happen. We just don't know exactly how. We don't know all of the methods. And so one of the things that we try to do as leaders of a church is to introduce methods. How will Christ make us as a family together? How will we operate as a family together? How are we to love our neighbors near and far? How are we to advance the message of the Savior? How are we to do this for the glory of the Creator? And so that is where we lean on the Holy Spirit as revealed in His Word and honestly in the Holy Spirit working through you. We are, what makes us a church is the Spirit of God tying us together through Christ. That's why our vision statement states that. So what I hope to do, as well as introduce Ephesians and Colossians to you, so it's quite a challenge for the next 20 minutes, is to break down the statement that we've introduced. In Christ, we are family together, advancing our loving our neighbor near and far, advancing the message of the Savior for the glory of our Creator, and show you what are some ways that we have seen and want to see these things happening. So, the very first aspect of the phrase is that in Christ, we are a family together for the glory of our Creator. In Christ, we are a family together for the glory of our Creator. We have, in the last couple of years, introduced a value statement that go along with that, that we are as a church, as a family, and our families as little churches. We introduced that a couple years ago to say, what does it mean for us to operate as a family together, and then to see our families as little churches, and to move families down that direction. I had young mother was talking to me later this week, or later this past year, sometime this past year, and she simply said to me, you know, I'm so thankful that we were moving this direction, because it's helped us when we couldn't be together corporately to operate as a church, to know that we are as a church if we are believers together as a family, and to bring worship into our family. We had no way of knowing that when we brought that phrase out and we said this is something we want to look for, we believed it was biblical, but we had no idea that God would cause a worldwide pandemic to help us make that happen. All right. But nonetheless, that is the waters we've been walking in, and to teach our families to worship the Lord together. And so there's been some shifts that our church and churches are having to make. As you can see, the Sunday morning gathering isn't as much as a happening in a church as it was a year ago. For reasons beyond our control. We are still committed to it, believing that God will use the gathering and has commanded us to gather, and so we do. We do gather, and we are committed to trying to do the in-person gathering as long as we can, and try to be careful with it and prayerful about it, and seek God's blessing and protection in it, knowing that we can't check our brains at the door as we do this. With that being said, there's not nearly as many resources that used to go toward the gatherings, the Wednesday nights, the youth, the children, the Sunday morning. And so we are moving a little bit more toward the resource supplying, to be able to provide for you ways to be as a church, little church, wherever you're at. So what does that look like? Well, specifically, it looks like maybe a little pamphlet that you've picked up that talks about some activity guides and some things that you can do as you read Ephesians and Colossians. This is having a Josh working on his using his time to develop these things, as well as Kylie and others, to help families do this together. And so this is something that we want to see. Let me share with you as we major strategy for us that will have several of these values, in Christ being a family together, in Christ advancing the message, in Christ loving our neighbors, in Christ for the glory of our Creator. And that is the Bible reading plan, that within it we are asking our church to gather in small groups. It could be your Sunday school class. It could be your D group. It could be a group you haven't yet started, been a part of, for the main simple purpose of we are going to talk about what we read, and we are going to pray about what we read. We're not making it overly complicated. We're just asking about five questions. What you read this week has attracted you the most? What did you have the biggest challenge with this week in reading? What did you learn about God or yourself from the readings this week? And then lastly, how can someone pray for you about what you read this week? That's it. And that will form the basis of discussion and prayer each month. All right? The reason we're putting the strategy, several reasons, Bible reading is the most important discipline of the believer, in which if that rises, all the other discipline rises. And we know from the Word of God, from 2 Peter chapter 1, from the book of James, from all of Psalms, that the Word of God is used by the Holy Spirit to transform us into His image. That and the gathering of believers, the Holy Spirit uses informing us, shaping our attitudes and perspectives. And so we're kind of putting many of our chips in this one basket to say, we plead with you, read the Word of God throughout your week. It is not enough to gather on Sunday, especially when COVID makes it really hard to do that. It must be a part of your everyday. And so it could be that you form a group or you get in a group. We're asking some of our Sunday school teachers and D group leaders who have been involved in this in the past to say, find some people, no more than five, including the leader, to read it together and talk about it and pray about it. And it could be a group that forms for the entirety of the year. If the group wants to do that, then do that. It could be a group that interchanges with each month to say, you know what, let's meet some new people. Let's get some others involved. In fact, prayerfully, next month and the month after, there will be new people, and it provides an entrance for them to get into a small group where they can read the Word of God and get into some prayerful conversations with one another about it. And so it's intended to allow people to come into it as we grow and change. And our church has changed. Over this past year, it's been mind-blowing to figure out who is the church and who isn't the church. But it has constantly changing, and it's not just who's sitting here on Sunday mornings. The fact of the matter, there are some people I've not met in person yet, and yet they regard themselves as part of our church. So the resources of our church is moving more online. When we brought on Josh and David James, we hired them for family ministry, worship ministry, but we had no idea that, okay, we need a virtual online presence so much more than we ever had before. Fortunately, in God's providence, he gifted us with men that do that type of stuff for fun. They like doing videos and doing that type of work, and that's the kind of things that they would have their spare time doing, and I've tried to talk them into, hey, when you take time off, take time away from doing these things. Like, well, no, this is what I do for fun. you're weird. But God has blessed us with a couple of these men. So one of the things I would share with you, there is still needs in our community in the SALT team. Sound, audio, light. Some of it is what you do here on Sunday morning where this is becoming online live streaming. Some of that is editing of videos to produce more family videos or more videos to come alongside of our monthly readings so that even if someone isn't able to be here on a Sunday morning where I'm going to introduce the book, that they can watch some video that hopefully will have some entertaining, or I don't know if that's the right word, some value to all ages, whether it's children to adults. And so there's going to be a work that will require a bit more editing. So our staff and the office, Melissa and Tracy and others, are starting to learn how to do editing to help accommodate that. But there is more help needed in those areas for us as a church. So in Christ, what does it mean for us to be a family together? The church-wide year Bible reading plan is a massive initiative that encompasses many of our values, where it allows us to advance the message of the Savior. It allows us to glorify our Father. It allows us to pray for one another and having that family togetherness as a church body. And it is a strategy that come what may, come if COVID comes and rages with a storm or we get hit with some outbreak of it in our church, that we can still function and work together in this way. Some other things as we go on is we're looking at bringing on Don as an elder. He has been brought to our attention from the church body itself as well as the elders. And so we will begin more intensive training for Don in the theological and spiritual perspectives of being an elder. We hope to see him instituted this year as an elder. We are continuing to encourage our deacons to take on helps ministry, to take on the lawn care and helping us to fill that with people that from our church can handle that. The benevolence or the helps ministry aspect is a growing need. And when I say that, what we've charged the deacons with is not just find band-aids to help someone through the month, but to challenge the person as well as our church, how can we help the people for the long haul? Sometimes that's some spiritual conversation. Sometimes it's much more training. But it looks more than just, you know, having some money set aside to pay a bill, to figure out what's going on behind that. This is a ministry that we see growing in our deacon body. One of the other challenges with the deacons is assimilating. When new people come in, how do they get to know the other people in our church? We have one couple that are in another state, but they see themselves as part of our church. They hope to move here within this year, but they are already participating and seeing themselves as part of Green Pines. You don't know them. That's a little bit more of a challenge. How do you assimilate a couple like that? We've got another couple that are in the Planters Walk neighborhood. They have yet to walk through these doors, but they watch every week. They've got some friends that are members that they talk with, but they've yet to walk through those doors. And so the challenge for the deacons is, how do we assimilate them into our church body? As we look at being in Christ as a family together for the glory of our Creator, we are planning prayerfully for our ramping up of our children's areas, especially on Wednesday nights by April, looking specifically at April 1st. It is something we have kind of brought to our own hearts and minds as a goal to work toward. What does that mean for us? Well, beginning this week, once a month, we'll begin back fellowship suppers first Wednesday of every month. We'll see how it goes. So that'll be this Wednesday. And so we'll see if it is something that we can sustain in a healthy way. Then we will hope to bring it in on a weekly basis. But we hold that with open hands to see how that will go. But that's our goal, is looking toward April. And so when we think about Sunday school classes, when we think about Wednesday night, this is where we are looking at that date. To be honest, we'll need more volunteers in those children areas to make that happen. This is something where you can talk to a Josh, you can talk to Kylie. You guys have done well on Sunday mornings. We are getting up a good rotation. We're looking at about a six-week rotation right now. We'd love to have 8 weeks where someone is helping us in the wee worship in the nurseries. And so six-week rotation is doable, but we had to get that down before we can move on into Sunday school our Wednesday nights. And so now that we are moving into January, looking toward April, that is something that we're going to be prayerfully recruiting toward, is how can we expand our children's area, looking at Wednesday nights as well as Sunday mornings. So this is something for you to pray about, for us to pray about as we move in this together. In Christ as a family together, one of the hard negatives of 2020 is that there are a larger number of people that can't be here on a Sunday morning. For various immune issues, they're just not able to. We add that to the ones who, because of age, are not able to drive anymore. There is a growing number of members that are separated. It is a burden to us as a church, and one of our prayers is to say, how can we let these individuals know that Christ loves them and Green Pines loves them? So God in his, we believe to be God's moving, has brought to us this past year, John and Pam Melanchon. John Melanchon is a retired pastor. He was a member, joined our church back in October 2017, was there with us for several months before taking a call in a church in Zebulun, which has now ended. Even back 3 years ago, John had felt a burden for our church and ministering here. And so it's been a long time coming, but it seems like it might be a suitable time for us as a church to bring on John to help us minister to seniors or those in the hospital. John is gifted in the areas of compassion and ministering in this way and being able to listen. And he, since October, we've been kind of seeing this as a trial period, have been visiting with me or either one of the other elders, and we've been visiting those people that can't come out anymore. We have a huge list of folks that we would classify as shut-in, and so we have, since that time, seen that, I think of one specific lady that has felt neglected by this church for over 20 years. Just one of those individuals that have fallen through cracks that can sometimes develop. And I believe the Lord may have used John specifically, but myself in addition, to help minister to her. We pray that there's not others like that, that for long periods of time have felt neglected and not cared for. That is the danger of this time period, of knowing people can't come and they get forgotten. God does not forget them. And we as a church, as the body of Christ, must not forget them either. And so we are wanting to bring John on beginning this month in a kind of a part-time capacity where his main function and role will be visiting people. Doesn't mean I've stopped visiting, but that he will do much more of that. I will continue and visit with them, but he will take on more than what I can do and help us minister to those who are not able to be here on any given Sunday. I would just say this, though. The greatest ministry is not John or me, but you. It will not do for us to say, okay, well, we've got someone here to do this. Let's just move away from that. I believe the Holy Spirit will put a burden on your heart of people who are not here. I mean, just look around. You might see in your mind's eye memories of someone that used to sit somewhere. If that name comes to your attention, for whatever reasons, follow up on it by calling them or sending them a letter. Let them know that the Lord hasn't forgotten them. Nor has you. One person cannot do the ministry intended for the entirety of the church. And the entirety of the church is to love one another and pray for one another, exhort one another. And it might mean that we take much more phone calls than we used to have. I can't help but through any given week go through names of people that aren't able to be here and wonder, how are they doing? That being said, if you're watching this online, I treasure immensely the feedback that you give, whether through emails or through texts or phone calls or letters. When you are watching online and you respond back to the church or to individuals in the church, I count them as kind of lifelines to know you're still there. You're still there. And so that is important. So if you are sitting there and you are watching this online, just don't underestimate the value of that, of responding back to others as the church is ministering to you. As we keep on moving, in Christ, we are loving our neighbor. near and far, for the glory of our Creator. We want to continue the ministry of hospitality. What does that mean? Well, we have stated, and we are committed to this as a church, that if you invite someone out, maybe they're new to our church, or they're interested, and they're not engaged in church, invite them out, take them out for a coffee or for a lunch, hear their story, listen to them, pray for them, invite them to be a part of a church community. If you do that, we will, as a church, help reimburse the cost of that meal to make that happen. We are believing that you are our best asset to reaching this community. God has given it to people to do, not necessarily billboards and Facebook messages and things like that. They serve a purpose, but they never, never replace you and your role in doing that. And so we've committed up to $15 per meal. And so keep the receipt. Give us a little report who you took out, what happened with that. And we'd love to be able to reimburse you because we want you to be doing this. So we are continuing on in hospitality, and that may look a little different and maybe a little bit more scary than it used to be. But I found that most people still are open to it. You know, it may be that we're eating outside on a patio somewhere, but if you reach out to them, people still will respond maybe more than they ever did. Just be mindful and be careful of what their conscience is saying. And so let's keep on doing that, because that become more and more rare as the love of many grows cold, that in Christ that we can be separate and different by our hospitality. We are still prayerfully looking at future trips. There are several mission trips that were suspended, postponed. We long for the day where we can go and work with Wayne and Jennifer in Oregon. There's a plan tentatively for me to visit Ecuador and see that as a vision trip for future work. We love to be able still to go to Middle East, where you got a report there from one of our members they are living there. There's another group called Impact International that sees themselves under the umbrella of our church. Their job is to minister to the refugees, especially in Jordan. We'd love to be able to go there and see what that work looks like. So there's things still on hold, but in the meanwhile, we will look for those opportunities locally. The food pantry continues on. Someone gave a massive donation this past week, and so Amber and Travis were working, trying to bring some order to that. And we could use some people to help out with that team. That is perhaps, we'll see how this year goes, it could be a growing work. We have, with the cooperation of the State Convention, be able to give out food boxes. And that has looked like it's come to an end with some of the U.S. grants. But that was a great ministry for us to be able to be a blessing to others. We'll let you know if that continues, but in the meanwhile, we will continue with the food pantry, as well as Hodge Road Elementary. We've been able to do a coat distribution last month, as well as help out a family or two that really had no means for Christmas. And so we will keep you abreast on what's going on with Hodge Road Elementary. As we keep on, we want to bring up the I Choose Ministry. That is now within our church budget, which is the Crisis Pregnancy Center here in Knightdale. Because of your generosity, we were able to bring I Choose Ministry in, as well as increase our donation toward missions internationally and as well as North America through the cooperative program. So we thank God for that. Let me talk a little bit about preschool. The preschool ministry also is a ministry for us to love our neighbors and advance the message of our Savior. I think this past year, 2020, I think we have probably about three families that have joined or attending from our preschool, which three out of maybe six or seven new families for 2020. So over half of what we've seen has come through our preschool. The preschool also has taken a big COVID hit. As you well know, we had to end preschool in March. Instead of May, we were able to commit to take care of the preschool staff. The generosity of the church made that happen. God provided through the government PPP, the payment program protection. And we were able to do that. We stepped out in faith this semester to see what it would be like. It has been a challenge. The numbers have been a lot less than last year be able to have the income, but yet we are still ministering to those families that are there. Children are learning how to pray. Children are learning how to read the Bible. They're learning the stories of Christ. They're experiencing it firsthand. There's families here that you could talk to and they could give a testimony of the impact they're seeing in their family's life through that. Some of you are sitting here. It is something for us to pray about. We are seeing an increase in the last really week, usually we do, but we prayerfully need to see more numbers increase for this next month. So keep that as a matter of prayer for us as we minister to our community. In Christ, we're advancing the message of our Savior for the glory of our Creator. What does it mean to advance the message of the Savior? We are going to, each month, I'm going to introduce the Bible readings, and so we're going to have an intro to each book. We're going to finish out the book of Luke, Lord willing. I'm prayerfully working toward Easter to finish the book of Luke. And then after that, we're going to look at a series about eight lies the church tends to believe. We're going to look at a series that'll be about eight lies that churches tend to believe and what the Word of God has to say. And so we're going to move away from a book after being in a book for about 2 years. Into a short, focused series before we get to the next book. One of the things we're prayerfully looking at is a church-wide retreat in the month of September. We are seeking Jeremy and Trisha Randolph to come. They have agreed. We're just nailing down the specific date where they will focus on what does it mean to walk by the Spirit. That'll be in the month of September. We'll let you know the specifics as we get closer to it, looking at Careway, which is about an hour and a half away from our location here. But this is something where we see this as a work that can help galvanize a church spiritually, as well as bring some harmony and fellowship together that also could be a great benefit to your marriage. As we look at what brings glory to our Creator, one of the things is our facilities. These are things God's entrusted to us. So there's a couple of things that we want to bring out. One is there is an ongoing effort of studying, preparing for what does it look like to revitalize this room and our buildings, the foyer as you come in, perhaps maybe even some of the hallways. And so we have had a study team looking at this, and they have been giving reports to us, especially in our church family meetings. What will that look like? It will look like eventually presenting to the church, here is the final report of what we'd like to see our church do, and then it will look like a church vote and funding to make that happen. In other words, it's not within our budget to make these updates happen. It's going to be something where we ask our membership, if this is something you want to do, then we have to make it happen. Let's pray to God and ask God to bless this work for the future of our church. And so that's something that we're looking at. We are also exploring cleaning the church. How are we going to clean the church? We have in times past used cleaning companies, and to be honest, we have had much disappointment with the companies that we've used for the last few years. And so we are looking at paying our own members to make it happen. You might have smelled things a little different in a good way as you came in, because we had a team of some of our members working hard on it yesterday, several hours of cleaning from the mopping, from really months of things that just needed to happen. But it looks like it's going to be a pretty big job. If that's something you want in on, let me know. Let me know, and it might be something we are exploring how to make this a blessing to our church as well as maintaining and improving our facilities. And so this is something that Kylie, as well as several other ladies, are looking at making this happen in our church year. And so these are a few things. That's a lot, but it might produce more questions than answers. In the last few moments, let me just briefly introduce the book of Ephesians and Colossians. All right, why Ephesians and Colossians? Part of this is one, this is a series of books that our staff is really familiar with, and we were asking our staff to do some of the work and making the resources available. What do I mean by being familiar with this? For the last 2 years, maybe three, our staff has worked on memorizing Colossians, especially chapter 3 and also chapter 1. Why? The book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians were written about the same time, around 62 AD. Paul was in prison, we believe, in Rome at that time. And as he writes these letters out, he writes one to Ephesus. This is a place where he spent the most time. Spent over 3 years in Ephesus. Compared to Colossae, he never went. As best we know, there is no record of him visiting. He didn't start the church. In fact, it was a co-laborer with him that started the church that was perhaps from Colossae, whereas Ephesus he started. But in Ephesus, there was a mixture of gods that was worshipped. It was a cosmopolitan place where he had all kinds of ethnicities and so consequently some divisions among the people, as well as where does Christ rank in these pantheon of gods. And Colossae, you have in this church two forces at work. One of kind of the syncretism, where does Christ fit in among all these pantheons of gods? You got to remember, Christianity was born in a multicultural, multi-religious atmosphere. There's nothing new about that. And so that was going on in Colossae. And also you have within Colossae this movement back to the Old Testament and the law. And so in Colossae, he brings up the preeminence of Christ. That Christ is above all things. He is the maker of all things, and he is for all things. And so consequently, all of your life is to be impacted by Christ. So when you read Colossians chapter 1, you see this poem of Christ being preeminent of all things. And in Colossians 2, he's talking about what he has endured. Paul has endured to bring out the message of Christ. And Colossians 3 and 4, it is, what does it mean for Christ to be in your life? Impacting your thoughts, impacting your job, impacting your marriage and your children, your parents. Every part of your life is to be impacted by Christ. You'll see this phrase, put on Christ, put on Christ. And so you're going to see the similarity with the book of Ephesians that we'll start with. We're in Ephesus, and this mixture of all these people, Christ is making a new man, a new body, a new community that isn't marked by the skin color or your socioeconomic level, that this new community is marked by Christ, and he calls it the church. He says, the church is my body, the church is my temple, the church is a mystery, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. And then 4, 5, and 6, is what does it look like when you live in Christ? And Christ marks a body. He says in Ephesians 4 that though there is unity in Christ, it's not the same thing as uniformity. And that's a lesson I think we need to remember. Unity is not the same thing as uniformity. In Ephesians 4, he talks about how God has gifted the church with many different gifts, and they all come together and work together. So listen, what makes us united is Christ and nothing else, including political parties, and including your latest view on how to deal with COVID. We are to be united in Christ, which is why we structure ourselves so that we focus in on Christ. We don't want to detract from that. Someone asked me online recently, you know, why don't you guys require masks? And I said, look, we recommend it, we encourage it. We're not going to require it because we require Christ. We require faith in Christ. There's only a few things that we can require. I didn't say all that, but I did say this. As a church, we are united by Christ, not uniform in our views of lesser things, nor do we serve a community that's uniform in all its views. So we will hold tightly to the one thing we can, and that is we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone and nothing else. I would say that the role of love and the role of the Holy Spirit will drive us down certain directions, that the tone of how we operate should be the same. In other words, do we have a Christ-centered argument for our views? If we have a Christ-centered argument for our views, then we can hold on to the unity of it. But if we start inserting things, as good as it might be, into Christ, we have taken from Christ. And let me just warn us, the nation and the rights of American citizens are good things, and I thank God for them, but they're never in the place of Christ. And that pushes me down uncomfortable roads. But so be it. Because I know that our solution's found in Christ, and we're going to find this in Ephesians. I can't help but remember that when we went through the book of Ephesians before, it was about, well, in 2017, and we went through one of the most horrific times as a church. I'm praying that we can listen by the Holy Spirit to the theme of the book of Ephesians, that God is making us as a new body, a new community by the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Colossians, that Christ is making us as a new man under the preeminent Christ who is above all things. If we can hold on to the message of Colossians and the message of Ephesians, that will carry us through COVID, financial disasters, divisions, election years. But it's the same message that helped rock the Roman Empire in all of its diversity and oppositions. My hope is on Christ and the name of Christ. This is about as much time as we have at this point. But I'm looking forward to seeing how these discussions develop in your groups, 4 or 5. My prayer for you this week, that either you will be seeking out some people to say, hey, I want to read this with you. Let's meet together by Zoom or whatever way we want to meet in person, that you will seek that group out. We're going to ask some of our Sunday school classes and D groups. Some of them might be doing this in their classes and incorporating with what they already have. If you want to be in a group and you don't have anyone to connect with, contact the church office. Let me know. And we will work to get you in a group of about 4 or 5 people to read and discuss together. I cannot underestimate or overestimate the importance of that in your life. It will carry you through things that you would not dare to imagine. This is our 4th year of doing a Bible reading plan. We did all of the Old Testament and New Testament, then we did the New Testament, then last year was Psalms and Proverbs, and I cannot tell you how much it meant to me in the month of April, the month of May, the month of March, when I'm not meeting together and things are shutting down, it seems awfully lonely to read the book of Psalms and to see how God is the rock and our fortress. And he is my hope, he is my salvation, he is that which I can sing about. It carried me. And I've seen it carry many. Will the Word of God be alive in your life? Let's pray. Father, so many things said here. So many things crossing my brain and crossing my tongue and lips, Lord. Maybe more than what we can all bear. But Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to center in on those things that are of you. Father, I pray that the theme and the message of Colossians, that Christ is over all things, and therefore all of our life is to be under you. The themes of Ephesians, Father, that through Christ, you're creating a new community. Lord, that these would hit into our heart, into our minds, into our actions, Lord, that it would be themes and truths that we talk about, truths that cross our brain, that changes our thinkings and our attitudes, our perspectives, Lord. Father, help us as a church to be in Christ. Lord, knowing that in Christ you are over all things and all things are at your feet, and so that if we are in you, Lord, that we have the authority that comes with you. And so, Lord, help us to be under you and to be as a family in Christ together, Lord, that we would love our neighbors near and far, Lord, that we would be reaching out to those who couldn't be here, can't be here, Lord, that we would call them, that we would email, text them, Lord, send letters. Father, that you would bless the works of people like John and others, Lord, as we minister grace and minister your presence, Lord, and minister your word. By going to them for those who cannot come here. Father, help us to be able to equip our families to be as little churches together, Lord. Father, that devotions and prayer times would happen in the dinner tables, at the couches, Lord, around families as we are gathering together. Father, that we would bring others into the community and being hospitable to them, Lord, and opening up doors of time and money to entertain the people around us, Lord, to point them to you, to make room for friendships. Father, we pray for the preschool. We pray that you would bless that, Lord, as we are seeking to use it as a way to minister and love our neighbor, as well as to advance the message, Lord, in the lives of children and their parents. Father, I thank you for those who in the last few years you've used the preschool to minister to and given them new life and new families, Lord. Father, we pray that that would multiply and increase. Father, we pray that you help us to, not only through our preschool, but through our Sundays and Wednesdays, Lord, as we minister to them. Father, we thank you for the series that we'll be looking at. Father, as we entertain hard answers that are easily asked. Father, questions that are popping up around us about government. Father, about how we view science, and Father, how we relate to others who claim some other identity other than how you've made them. Father, help us as we study your word together. I pray that you bless Jeff as we look on Wednesday nights in that, Father, that you would use us to be instruments of truth. Father, we pray that you would help us to be groups together, centered on your word and prayer. Father, as we read the word of God together, Father, that your truth would constantly be talked about, discussed, not just with those who we're comfortable with, but those we don't yet know. Father, I pray that you give wisdom to the deacons, Lord, as they learn how to help and find out what really helps the people in our community. Father, as they help assimilate new people. Father, we thank you for those who are being reached through the online ministry, that you would touch their hearts, Lord. Help them to come to you, and they may come to be a part of your community as well. Father, we pray that you would help us to do that well for your glory. Lord, I want to thank you. Father, that the reach of COVID has been very limited among our church body compared to others. Father, we see your grace weekly in that regard. Thank you. And Lord, we know that even now, that though we might be breathing COVID air, even now, Lord, that your grace is sufficient and that you will be faithful and good regardless of our health and welfare. Lord, we mourn for those that we've lost this year and those that we will lose this year. But we know that if they are in Christ, that we never really lose them. And so, Lord, help us to find more and more people and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, that your kingdom may grow. Father, we pray for your health that you've blessed us with, Lord. Lord, we want to live for the glory of your name, because it's such a beautiful name. It's a name by which you are drawing all peoples as one body, and therefore all of our life to be touched by your name. We pray this by the only name we can, your Son, Jesus.